You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball.
Brandon King.
No, I'll tell you why.
I changed it for one reason. Our old producer, Matt Mitchell, used to do the you're now tuned into the Front Row Hoopcast, and he texted me, and he said, you got to change the intro. And I said, why? I love having...
Is he going to sue you?
And he goes, well, my mom keeps listening to it and says she thinks I'm still on the show, so it's confusing her. So I said, for her benefit, we'll change the intro.
But,
I know. I was not a fan of it either.
That sounds like... I have no idea what that even...
I thought it was weird. Okay, well, listen, after this episode, we'll talk to Matt Mitchell and see if he is willing to go back
Why doesn't he come in and do a fresh one? That's like three or four years old. Oh, my God.
We got a good show today. The Butler Bulldogs have started conference play, 2-1 in conference play. We saw some good. We saw some bad. We have a lot to discuss. Brendan, the Bulldogs began conference play facing off against Georgetown. It's halftime of that game, and they're down by 18. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, the season's over. We are going to be terrible because we're losing to this Georgetown team that's not supposed to be very good. And we're not just losing. We're getting killed. Killed. And then we end up coming back and winning in overtime in the second half. What happened? How did that happen?
The Georgetown team that played the weakest non-conference schedule of any major Division I program.
Yes.
So, here's the first thing. You're not allowed to run our social media anymore because Chris Denary even got in there.
I like Chris Denary.
I like him too, but when you're getting called out by Chris Denary, that's not a good thing.
Well, what did he call us out for?
Because you posted on Twitter at halftime, now's a good time to listen to the last episode of the Front Row Hoopcast. Does Butler have a coaching problem? And they came back to win.
I did, and I was simply presenting the question, but they did win. LaValle Jordan was the reason we won that game.
True.
The halftime adjustments were fantastic. I give him full credit for that.
Why is it that they always play those types of games in Washington, D.C.? Last year, Nate Fowler won it for us, and this year it's LaValle Jordan.
I thought that the decision to do full court press was excellent. Yeah. I thought the decision to start driving to the basket was excellent. I was very stressed out during that entire game. I'm glad we won.
When was the last time you saw Butler run a press? Like a Butler team consistently press?
Never. We do a good job with it too. We don't really get exposed too much.
And historically, the press is the thing that has beaten the Butler Bulldogs.
Agreed.
They could VCU, St. Louis, and now they're. After years of Brad Stevens not running it, Chris Holtman not running it, I like it.
I cannot complain.
I like the D.
So after that game, Brendan, I was like, well, there is just no way we're going to be able to beat Villanova. We could barely get by Georgetown. Like, they're about to run us out of the gym. And Butler showed up and played as close to a perfect game as you can get. It was incredible. You know, we will never... If Butler plays like that every game, they'll win the national championship. I mean, they were that... Good.
I guess Henry Battley's a three-point specialist now.
He shot 100% from that game.
Incredible. Here, I'm going to give you the chance. This is your only chance ever to jump on the Paul Jorgensen train. False! Just kidding. You can never jump on the train ever. You're not welcome. He has already left the station.
He was phenomenal against Villanova.
He was.
Phenomenal. At that point, I was almost like, maybe I should come around on this guy. But he did some things in the other two games that made me come back to earth.
He was 2-6 on threes last night. What's the problem?
2-6 on threes? Brady, he was like 4-12 from the entire game. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to this Villanova game.
Incredible.
Incredible. We're the best Butler's ever played. So then I'm thinking, man, Butler shows up. Like, this Xavier game is going to tell me a lot. Are we a good team or a bad team? And we show up, and we lose, but we keep it competitive, especially for a team that, you know, didn't get to the free throw line that much and didn't shoot all that well from three. I thought it was nice that we kept it close.
You couldn't buy a foul last night.
No.
If you're a Butler. I mean, how many times was Keelan Martin under the rim with four Xavier players around him and he went up and didn't get a call? And again, this is the Big East where if you go up, you'll technically usually get fouled.
I agree with you, but I like him doing that rather than him stepping out and shooting
tough
threes.
I'm not saying that was a problem, but he went up and he should have gotten the call.
You're going to have games like that on the road at Xavier. You're not going to get the calls every night. I thought it was good that we were competitive, though, despite that.
Yeah, I mean, you go in and you play like that on the road against the number five. I think David Woods made a good point last night on Twitter, but if you go in and play that way at the Cintas Center where you're hated this in this rivalry, you're going to be okay most of the time.
Yeah. The Keelan and Kamar show was on full force last night. We'll get to them in a minute. But overall observations from the start of Big East, we are 2-1. I think our three-point shooting is just all over the place. We go 3 of 21 from behind the arc against Georgetown, 7 of 27 last night against Xavier, and then 15 of 22 against Nova. And Brendan, I ask you this. Was the Nova game a fluke? Was that shooting performance just so out of the ordinary? Was that a fluke game?
No, it's not. And it's for this reason, because Butler this season is an inconsistent team. We've noted it's an inconsistent team. They're on and they're off. You talk about complete opposites of Purdue and Villanova. Okay. But I think the Villanova game shows if you go in and everybody's playing their role and can hit when needed. I mean, Henry Badley's threes, one was a wide open three in the corner. I mean, if you're a Division I college basketball player, technically you should be able to hit that.
Yes, you need
an open three in the corner. If everybody's playing their role, I think the Nova game shows what they can do if they play to the best of their ability.
When the threes start going in, it opens up the offense a lot.
It does.
I don't think the shots we're taking are much better than the shots we have been taking. It's just they're going in, and when that happens, the lanes open up. You're able to drive to the rim. We saw Keelan and Kamar doing that really well. But yeah, it was one of those things where we've seen a lot of good and bad through these first three games. It's tough for me to get a read on this Butler team.
Take this a tale of two games. Sean McDermott, Georgetown, 41 minutes, 0-4 on threes. Nova, 26 minutes, 2-3 on threes.
It's hit or miss. Consistency.
But if one thing that is getting a lot better, in which we talked about in the last episode that we really hit on, was LaValle Jordan.
Yes.
LaValle is looking a ton more comfortable in his play calling and just his demeanor on the sidelines. He's looking like a lot more of a cool customer. He gets to guys when he needs to in terms of, you know, getting to them on the sidelines and either not yelling at them, but, you know, just telling them what they need to do better. I mean, I like the demeanor on the sidelines. I like what he's doing. The play calling is better, in which we talked about in the first couple episodes. It's getting more consistent from a coaching end. And now, hopefully, that can, in tune, get it better on the court in terms of consistency.
I still have... There's one thing that's still giving me beef with Coach Jordan, and that's the minutes we're giving. Yeah. We basically play seven guys, and you may say Badley plays. He plays 8 minutes a game in conference play so far, so I'm not really counting him. But you look through these first three games, Kamar Baldwin's averaging 40.7 minutes, Keelan at 37 minutes, and Paul Jorgensen at 35 minutes. They're going to break down and die if they keep playing that many minutes. That is unsustainable. And Brendan, I'll say this about Paul Jorgensen. This team goes as he goes.
Yeah.
Okay, when he is on, we do well. But when he is off, we struggle. You look at the history. Against Maryland, I have it written down here. Against Maryland, 2 points, we get blown out. Against Texas, 0 points for Paul, we get blown out. First half against Purdue, down by 18. He goes 1 for 4 in that half. We get blown out. Georgetown, he shot 2 of 10 in the game, and we were getting blown out. But you look at when he's on, like that second half of Purdue, we came back against Villanova. When he is on, Butler is lighting it up.
Yeah.
And I'm so sick of Butler fans tweeting at me every time Paul Jorgensen makes a three. Oh my gosh, Ari, our Lord and Savior, Paul Jorgensen.
You brought it to yourself.
Brendan,
you brought it to yourself.
If I tweeted out every single time Paul Jorgensen made a stupid-ass decision, my Twitter would break from overuse.
You practically do.
That is not true.
Oh,
that is not
true
at all. No, and listen, Paul was great against Villanova, but my whole thing with him is he's so inconsistent. 2 out of 3 Big East games, he's been bad. Yes, he does some things well in the court.
He's the best three-point shooting player on the team, 41%.
Statistically speaking, right now.
Right now.
Listen, Brendan, let's be real right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, Paul Jorgensen is not as bad as I make him out to be. Okay? Let me be clear to Butler fans. I'm not that
stupid. I told
you,
you're not. The train left the station weeks ago.
I'm sick of people acting like he is like...
You missed the train. You're stuck in town.
Brendan, you said you were bragging about how he was shooting 50% from three a month ago, and
over,
I said...
No. Don't start. He was shooting 50% from three over five games.
And I said it's going to drop down to 38, and it's dropped down to 41% already.
That's on the season.
Yes, it's unsustainable. His stats were unsustainable.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, listen, I am rooting for Paul Jorgensen. I want him to make every single shot, but if he ever dribbles the ball, I hate it. Just stand there and shoot. Paul, you do so well when you don't try to do anything. When he tries to create is when it drives me freaking nuts. That 30-foot shot was the stupidest shot I've ever seen in my entire life.
If that was Rodney Clark, you'd love it. I'm telling you. If Rodney pulled from there, you'd be saying, oh my God, he's the best transfer we've ever had.
That is, shut the hell up. That's so stupid. That's not true. It was a bad shot.
I'm telling you, dude. Rodney shot that all the time.
Oh my gosh. That is not from that deep. All right, let's move on.
Here's one thing I did want to talk about, though, in terms of minutes. Joey Brunk has had a combined 4 minutes. He didn't play at all against Nova. 2 minutes against Georgetown, 2 minutes against Xavier last night.
What does that say? That he ain't ready to go?
No.
Christian David, has he played a minute in Big East play?
I don't
think so.
Let me check there. He didn't play in the past two.
Yeah, I don't think...
He played 2 minutes against Georgetown.
Yeah, it's not encouraging when you don't have anyone on your bench. Like, running seven guys... is gonna be tough to do for an entire Big East season.
Yeah, it really is. And last night Nate Fowler played, I think, the majority of the center minutes, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
Was Weidman in foul trouble?
A little bit.
I had to catch part of that game on the radio.
That's all right. We do have the guys who did play. I think again we have to talk about Keelan Martin, who I think he is an NBA player.
Yeah.
He is going to get drafted in the second round. People are, questioning that. He's getting drafted, okay? He's averaging, 25 points a game in Big East play. His shooting is way better. He's rebounding it at a really nice rate. He's honestly, he might be the most underrated defender on Butler. I think he's one of the top two or three defenders on our team. He doesn't get a lot of credit for that, but he is really, really dangerous, especially when they put him at the power forward position.
Yeah, him at the four is dangerous. I mean, as much as we don't like Chris Mack, that's what he was saying in his post-game presser last night, is that when Keelan plays the four, there's a lot of matchup problems for a lot of teams out there. And Chris Mack said that is a problem for Xavier. Second round for sure. When's the last time a Butler player was drafted? Is that
Shelvin Mack in 2011?
Wow.
Yeah, but we're not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll break the trend. Another guy who, if he keeps playing like this, may be an NBA draft pick. Kamar Baldwin. After week,
he's a sophomore.
Brendan, what? He has been a monster through three games.
He has.
Career-high 31 against Georgetown. He had 19-9-7 against Villanova and 28 last night against Xavier.
I'm not saying he won't ever get drafted, but would you have said Keelan Martin was going to get drafted his sophomore year?
I didn't say he was going to get drafted his sophomore year. I said he's going to get drafted. I meant Kamar will get drafted eventually.
Okay.
Yes, but no. After last week, the word sophomore slump came out of your mouth, and I heard Kamar whispering, "This is for Brendan King."
Yeah.
Every time he started hooping, he was phenomenal.
Yeah,
driving to the basket. I still think he needs to move the ball a little more, but when he's hooping like that, you really can't take it out of his hands.
No, not at all. I mean, and was I saying that for sure sophomore slump? No, but I mean, what I was saying was that after that Purdue game, it wasn't looking good for in terms of conference play. He's still only shooting 29% from three.
In Big East play, he is shooting, I have that down somewhere. He's up to 33% in Big East play, which is, it's still not where it needs to be.
We'll see what happens here in the coming weeks. I mean, like Lavelle said, Lavelle was on Dokic's show today. He mentioned there's never a day off in the Big East. Your next three, Seton Hall, Creighton, Marquette.
I think Sean McDermott might be the best rebounder under 200 pounds in the country. He's 180 pounds.
It's a love fest, man.
And he
fest.
He had 11 rebounds last night against Xavier and 12 against Georgetown at like a $150 is what he weighs. He is becoming a very valuable piece since coming back from a rebounding perspective, I didn't suspect that.
I'm glad to see his ankles fully healthy and he could go up and do that. I think that's a very hot take because you're saying the entire country and
bit of hyperbole.
All right, but. I'm glad the ankle was better. I'm glad he's doing all right. Kamar scared the crap out of me when he went down last night. Who knows what it would have been, but the fact that he had to go on the bench, guys, definitely, it's like, a little bit of...
Someone else who I wouldn't mind seeing on the bench more is Aaron Thompson.
Oh, boy.
Where
is him being on the court, offensively, helping or hurting Butler more?
Oh, my... His offense is his. Let me put it this way: his defense is not good enough to warrant his offense. Okay, where he's a good defender. He's not great. He's a good defender. Again, he's a freshman, but his offense is so bad that it just, it hinders our entire system. That guys are leaving him wide open is killing us. You cannot space the court with a guy like that.
And that's why sometimes I think Jorgensen struggles. How many times already in Big East play have we seen the double team on Jorgensen?
Yes, I agree.
All right. Also, I don't think Thompson technically should be that bad. I think the process of this season has lost his confidence, first of all. I mean, he's not the first couple games we saw him driving to the bucket.
Against lesser competition,
yes,
still.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to do something, man. You can't just stand there and take a screen and then hand it off.
I agree. It's bad. It really, really hurts us.
Go up and be aggressive. You're an athletic kid. If you get to the bucket, there's a chance you get to the line. Now, his free throw percentage isn't good either.
Yeah.
But you got to do something to help the team offensively.
It's one of those things I almost feel like bringing him in for situational plays where if we're down by double digits, he's not going to help you there. Like, you need to score. That's when you need, like, Jorgensen and McDermott and Keelan and Kamara.
So
there.
You're saying put McDermott back in?
Over, instead of Thompson, when we're down, yes, because he's giving you nothing. He's honestly taking away from possessions on offense. It's hurting us more than it's being neutral.
And if you have Weidman out there, too, he can't shoot.
Yeah, we brought that up against Purdue, where you have two guys out there who can't really shoot. You're not going to be able to compete with teams like that. Brendan, what else do we need to look out for in the Big East play so far?
Well, coming up, you got the Pirates, and you got a team that John Rothstein calls a walking double-double, and Angel Delgado, and you got a guy that's a lights-out shooter, Desi Rodriguez. He's shooting 50% from the field this year, 36 from three. Kadeem Carrington's always been a Butler killer, and then Ismael Sanogo, too. You got a team, a lot of big guys. Most of them can shoot. I'm very interested to see what Seton Hall is going to bring.
Where do you think they stack up, like in comparison to Xavier and Villanova? Like, has Butler played the two best teams in the Big East in Villanova and Xavier, or do you think Seton Hall is on that level or a little below it?
I'd like to see Xavier play Seton Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see that game. I'd watch that game on FS1. Obviously, Villanova's best team in the league. I mean, they consistently are, but I think it's very close between Xavier and Seton Hall. Seton Hall, that class that they got, that is now seniors, Rodriguez, Carrington, Delgado, Sanogo.
It should be Isaiah Whitehead, too, but he's in the NBA.
It should be. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, you think they're on the same level? Goodness. I don't know if they're on the same level as Xavier. That, I think, is another very telling game for Butler, where we need to see how they do against stiff competition.
I don't think Xavier has a guy like Angel Delgado.
No, they don't.
They don't. Obviously,
this kid Tyreek Jones might be, though, for Xavier. He's a monster.
Yeah, and I think Desi Rodriguez is on the same level of J.P. McCura.
Ooh, hot take.
I think Desi Rodriguez is a tremendous player.
So who you taking?
Between?
Butler and Xavier. I mean, Butler and Seton Hall.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I think Delgado is going to give Butler a lot of problems. He's gotten consistently better as we've gone. It's going to be a tight one, and dog's got to be ready for a fight.
Brendan, I'm going to close the show with an interesting stat, and I want your take on it. This, in Big East play so far, Butler is averaging 90.3 points per game. The defense is giving up 89.3 points per game, a one-point differential. The slimmest of margins. Wow. What is the Big East season going to look like for Butler?
It's just brutal. It's just absolutely brutal, this league. Is there another league out there that is this brutal?
Top to bottom, that's this competitive throughout. I don't know.
The Big Ten's not this competitive. The ACC's not this competitive.
Yeah, top to bottom, Big East is
look, the ACC, the Big Ten's got some great clubs.
But they have some crappy clubs,
They have some terrible teams, too. Think of Rutgers.
So what? How's Butler gonna do in the Big East this year? Where do we finish?
Man, that's tough. Tell me yours first.
Fifth.
Yeah, right in the range of fifth to seventh. I mean, but that's the thing. Don't write that in stone, because every game's a fight, and every game anybody could come out on top. You saw what happened last night between Butler and Xavier, and the fact that, I mean, think about this. Against Villanova, Butler had a 23-point lead. And against Villanova, that doesn't even feel safe with me.
It's going to be a wild ride.
You know, the league consistently gets better, and it's not a bad thing at all. Butler is playing. Could you imagine Butler still in the A-10? Obviously.
Or the Horizon League?
Screw that. But if you're in the Atlantic 10, more than likely you're going to be, if you have this team in the A-10, you're going to be winning the league every year.
Probably.
Unless VCU has a good year, or St. Louis is terrible, but unless VCU has a good year. In this league, you got to respect what Val Ackerman's doing, bringing these clubs together, and St. John's is not a pass game anymore. Not even DePaul
is. Yeah, I know, right?
DePaul's not bad. I mean, even though they're one of the weaker teams, it's not like DePaul's going to, not going to win any games in Big East play. This is a league where anybody can come in and win on a given night, and you can't make a prediction just because you don't know.
That is a perfect way to end the show. I'm looking forward to it, Brendan.
It's going
to
be fun.
It's going to be a blast.
It gets better every year.
Hey, IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Hey, wait, before we leave.
What?
We are on iTunes now. Please check us out there. Subscribe. Give us a rate. We love responding to you guys on Twitter as well.
Ari won't be running our Twitter anymore, by the way.
That is up for debate.
No, I'm taking it away.
Yeah, okay. Now, IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.